Because of the season. Okay, our next item is old business, and our first item of oldness is subdivision 2018-17, Tower Hill Groom Memorial Methodist Church.
Mr. Chairman, before I make a motion on this, I would just like to state that this is one that I have put incredible hours into and thought. And I mean, I have read FEMA reports. I have debated with people about this. I have tried as many ways as I could. And based on the ordinances that we have and the laws that are in place, I have done the best that I could. I live in this area. My children ride their bikes on this road as well as everybody else's. One of the things that I was looking at is a way to cut the density a little bit. It was explained to me that there is a good reason that what I wanted to do was not possible, and I believe that maybe Mr. Robertson could explain that as well, because I was trying to get it down to 2 to the acre, and AR.
Right. Well, one thing too, I just want to, with the information you said, you've considered all that was in the record, so we're good on that. The question was, and it's a reasonable one, because we talk about, AR1 being 2 units to the acre and things like that, but in the environmentally sensitive developing area, and the way that the zoning code works, it's actually based on 20,000 square feet per lot, which gets you 2.17 something units per acre. And Ms. Stevenson asked if she could make it 2 units an acre, and my response was, well, we're bound by, this isn't a change in zone, or it's not a conditional use, and so we're bound by what's permitted in the zoning code on this one, which is AR1 in the environmentally sensitive developing area, which gets us down to that 2.17 units per acre. So my concern was, is if we just arbitrarily said you can't do what's permitted by code and it's 2 units per acre or some lower just density, that wouldn't be enforceable in court. We'd be in trouble on appeal on that. So there's an answer that she didn't necessarily like hearing, but it's a reasonable question, because we always talk about that. Everybody throws around 2 units an acre, 2 units an acre, because it's easier than saying 2.178 blah 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 units per acre. But in this case, that's what it is.
In this case, they are at exactly 2.178.
Yeah, no, that's also true. The flip side of it is, and we talked about this, with one of the things when we went and put the environmentally sensitive developing area overlay zone into the code, it's a bit of a trade-off, because we were seeing the 3/4 acre lots or even 20,000 square foot lots in this area, oftentimes with on-site septic systems, in very little open space. The trade-off that we get for the smaller lot sizes and actually being at the 2.178 units an acre is that with that comes a greater amount of open space. We get the buffers, we get lots that back up to open space. You're able to protect better wetlands and things like that. That is what went into consideration with actually getting the number of allowed lots versus some smaller number, if you had to do 3/4 acre lots or whatever.
So, that being said, I tried to take other people's, the Native American point of view, the historical point of view, the byways, and put it in this. So this is my motion, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Unless anybody else has any other questions.
And I will echo, Ms. Stevenson put a lot of thought and work into this with staff. There was a lot that went into it.
Yes, if Mr. I.G. Burton ever tells you that a job will take you at the most 4 hours a week, do not believe him.
Just getting started.
Thinking about a day.
I think he was paying forward what Mr. Rogers said to him when he was appointed the commission, because he's told that story too.
All righty then. Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2018-17 for Tower Hill Groom Memorial Methodist Church based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is seeking approval of a subdivision within the environmentally sensitive developing area and the AR1 zoning district. The applicant is seeking clustered lots with a minimum area of 7,500 square feet. to the proposed subdivision will have 292 lots on approximately 134.29 acres. This results in a density that is within the permitted density in the AR1 zone for a project within the environmentally sensitive developing area. Three, there was some testimony with concerns about traffic on area roadways. There was also photographic and video evidence in the record showing actual traffic on New Road. DLDOT has reviewed this project and is requiring the developer to make extensive roadway improvements and monetary contributions toward other area improvements. Four, the subdivision has satisfied all of the legal requirements for approval. Five, there were stated concerns about Native American burial areas and a Prettyman family cemetery area. The developer has taken extensive measures to protect those areas and to allow access to them. The histories of both the Native Americans and the Prettyman family will be documented on the site through informational plaques as well. Six, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code, and the applicant has adequately addressed the requirements of section 99-9C of the code. Seven, the project will be served by Central Water and Sewer. Eight, the development complies with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a low-density single-family dwelling subdivision. Nine, there will be active recreational amenities within the project, including a clubhouse and pool. 10, this preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 292 lots within the subdivision. B, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. D, a forested or landscape buffer of at least 20 feet in depth shall be installed along the entire perimeter of the project. This buffer shall increase to 50 feet along the northwest boundary of the site adjacent to the land that is used for agricultural purposes. Subject to the approval of the Sussex Conservation District, there shall be a 6-foot-tall berm within the 50-foot buffer along the northwest boundary to provide a visual buffer to the active shooting area adjacent to this development. This buffer shall not be required in wetland areas or in areas containing known archaeological or historical artifacts. The final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for all of these areas. E, the development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements, including contributions to the cost of off-site roadway improvements. The developer shall also coordinate with DLDOT to ensure that there are no impediments to the redesignation of New Road as an evacuation route. F, the subdivision shall be served by Central Water. G, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. H, the development shall be served by its own on-site active amenities such as a pool and clubhouse. On-site amenities shall be divided so that equivalent, not necessarily the same, amenities shall be constructed on either side of Lynn Road. I, the developer shall complete all amenities prior to the issuance of the 140th residential building permit. J, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. K, construction, site work, and deliveries on the site shall only occur between the hours of 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. No activity shall occur on Sundays. L, the final site plan shall indicate all forested areas that will be preserved. M, the final site plan and the restrictive covenants shall contain the legal notice that lands adjacent to this development are used for agricultural purposes. N, the final site plan and restrictive covenants shall contain a notice that land to the northwest of this site is actively used for hunting and the discharge of firearms. O, the developer in coordination with the Sussex Conservation District shall design and construct the site so that runoff is eliminated or significantly reduced onto lots fronting on Schaefer Lane. The developer shall notify the lot owners along Schaefer Lane having a common boundary with this property of the date when site work will commence in the northeastern area of the subdivision and how that construction may impact their property. P, as offered by the applicant, the five areas known on the preliminary site plan and marked as archaeology preservation conservation easement areas located in the northeast corner and the western side of the property shall remain as perpetual easement areas. The Delaware State Historical Preservation Office may request permission to perform archaeological studies and or excavations of the easement areas under conditions agreed to by the applicant and its assigns. Q, the final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for the subdivision's frontage along New Road with appropriate landscaping consistent with the goals of the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway Corridor Management Plan. The New Road landscaping shall be perpetually maintained by the developer and or homeowners association. The requirements of this condition shall be as set forth in the email of Dan McGreevy dated November 29th, 2018, incorporated by reference herein, and which will be included in the minutes confirming this motion. That agreement shall also be summarized in the notes on the final site plan. R, the western edge of the property contains the site of the Tower Hill Farm Prettyman Family Burial Ground, certificate registration number DE-2016-06, Delaware Cemetery Board. As offered by the applicant, the area will be subject to a perpetual cemetery easement as shown on the preliminary site plan, and the developer will make improvements to the Prettyman Family Burial Ground and adjoining area summarized as follows. One, the cemetery area will be surveyed and marked. The area will be cleaned of fallen dead or dying trees, vegetation, and litter by gentle means, no stump or root removal. Collapsed grave depressions will be filled and leveled, and the cleared area will be planted with appropriate ground cover. Two, the four corners of the cemetery area shall be identified with red brick markers. Monuments will be placed in the front and center of the cemetery area with text approved by Ralph Prettyman on behalf of the family, together with two gray granite benches. Two historical markers will be erected on the outskirts of the cemetery, one to recognize the indigenous people who once lived there, the other to recognize the colonial and post-colonial occupation. The local Native American tribes shall be consulted on the content of the indigenous people's marker. Prior to placement of these items, Ed Otter, Inc. will verify that no human remains would be impacted by their installation. Three, appropriate access to the cemetery will be provided for visitors and residents, and an easement will be created to ensure perpetual maintenance of the cemetery by the community, homeowners association, and perpetual access to the cemetery by the Prettyman family, descendants, and interested members of the public. Four, any Native American cemeteries found on the site shall receive the same or comparable treatment as stated above, subject to any modifications approved by SHPO and the local Native American Nanticoke tribe representative. Five, the archaeological report to be prepared by Ed Otter, Inc. will be made available to Ralph Prettyman on behalf of the Prettyman family, descendants, the Delaware State Historical Preservation Office, SHPO, the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Office, and the Lewis Historical Society and the Nanticoke Indian Museum. Upon completion of the report, artifacts associated with the Prettyman family or other colonial occupants of the property discovered on the site shall be donated to SHPO and or the Lewis Historical Society. Any Native American artifacts found on the site shall be donated to the Nanticoke Indian Museum. Six, the applicant will take extra care in performing site work to avoid any impact on the ancient sycamore tree on the Dawson property on Lynn Road. Seven, a representation of the history of the property will be displayed in the community clubhouse in consideration given to the street name suggested by Ralph Prettyman. S, a revised preliminary site plan either depicting or noting these conditions must be submitted to the Office of the Planning and Zoning. T, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Just one thing real quick I noticed as we were going through it. In condition D, the last sentence, it said this buffer shall not be required. It said this berm shall not be required. It should be berm instead of buffer, I think, in that sentence. Because that's the one that said, it should say this berm shall not be required in wetland areas or in areas containing known archaeological or historical artifacts.
Yes, you're
yeah,
right. Yeah. Okay.
Just a typo in there.
I second the motion.
Been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2018-17 Tower Hill Groom Memorial Methodist Church for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2018-20 Tanager Woods, Joseph A. Street, Nina Street, Jasmine Street, and Andrew Street.
Just a second. any questions or concerns on this one before I start?
You're going to be tired.
All right.
First time ever saw them list the street names.
Yeah.
Never mind.
This is the subdivision that had the airstrip at the end.
This is the subdivision with the airstrip.
We did reach out to Jim Hicken, who provided information back to the commission regarding the airstrip.
Wasn't that just a great example of how departments within government should work together, though? That information that Jim gave us, I thought, was very insightful. Very insightful. I was just, it was just nice to see the system work once in a while.
And just to summarize that, it basically stated that this was not an FAA-regulated airport, per se. It doesn't appear on any charts, although it is actively used, and the owner of it does have an airplane registered in his name. It also discussed the type of limitations that would be placed on properties adjacent to an FAA-regulated airport, again, which this one's not. And it also talked about how the use of adjacent properties would impact an airstrip and how a pilot would approach and land or take off from an airstrip. And it also talked about the air rights that people have beneath those landing and takeoff zones. So anyway, it was a good summary, as Mr. Wheatley indicated.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2018-20 for Tanager Woods, Joseph A. Street, Nina Street, Jasmine Street, and Andrew Street, based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is seeking approval of a cluster subdivision within the AR1 zoning district. The applicant is seeking clustered lots with a minimum area of 7,500 square feet. Two, the proposed subdivision will have 168 lots on approximately 103.32 acres. This results in a density that is within the permitted density in the AR1 zone for a cluster subdivision. The proposed AR1 subdivision is consistent with residential development trend uses in the area, which include several other similar AR1 subdivisions. Four, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code, and the applicant has adequately addressed the requirements of section 99-9C of the code. Five, the project will be served by central water and sewer. Six, the development complies with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a low-density single-family dwelling subdivision. Seven, there will be active recreational amenities within the project, including a clubhouse and pool. Eight, the subdivision has a superior design to a standard subdivision because it preserves approximately 61 acres or 59% of the site as open space. All lots are adjacent to some type of open space. There is a large open area along the frontage of the property, which benefits the appearance of the development from Robinsonville Road, and large amounts of wetlands and forested areas are preserved and protected. Nine, this preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 168 lots within the subdivision. B, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. D, as proffered by the applicant, a forested or landscape buffer of at least 30 feet in depth shall be installed along the entire perimeter of the project. This buffer shall increase to 50 feet in areas where the development borders any land in agricultural use. The final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for all of these areas. E, is proffered by the applicant, there will be a minimum 20-foot buffer between any lot line and any wetland area. F, the development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements. G, the subdivision shall be served by central sewer. H, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. I, the applicant shall coordinate with the local school districts regarding the location of a covered school bus stop within the subdivision. J, the development shall be served by its own onsite active amenities, including a pool, clubhouse, and a multi-use court. As stated by the applicant, the clubhouse shall be at least 2,500 square feet in size. K, the developer shall complete all amenities prior to the issuance of the 80th residential building permit. L, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. M, as stated by the applicant, sidewalks shall be installed on both sides of all internal streets in the development, and the internal streets shall be lined with trees. N, construction site work and deliveries shall only occur on-site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. The final site plan shall indicate all forested, areas that will be preserved. P, the development shall not have any access to Wilking Road. The narrow strip of land connecting the site shall remain undisturbed unless transferred to the adjacent landowners on either side of it. If such a transfer should occur, that shall be considered a minor amendment to the site plan that can be approved administratively, and such a transfer shall not impact the overall density of the project. Q, the final site plan and the recorded restrictive covenants shall include the following notice. This subdivision is located in the vicinity of land used as an airport. There may be frequent flights over the subdivision that will generate noises associated with aircraft in flight or aircraft engines operating. The use and enjoyment of property within this subdivision is expressly conditioned on acceptance of any annoyance or inconvenience which may result from such normal airplane uses and activities. And we wrote that in all caps. R, lots 65 through 72 along the southeastern boundary of this subdivision shall be relocated so that they are not directly in the flight path of the active runway immediately adjacent to the southwest corner of the site. S, a revised preliminary site plan either depicting or noting these conditions must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. T, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I second the motion.
Oh, sorry.
So moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2018-20 Tanager Woods for the reasons and with the stipulations, or the conditions rather, stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2018-21 Carriage Springs, BSP2 Properties LLC.
You're up.
It's my night. Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2018-21 for Carriage Springs BSP2 Properties LLC based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is seeking approval for a subdivision within the AR1 zoning district. Two, the proposed cluster subdivision will have 10 lots on approximately 10 acres. This results in a density that is well below the permitted density in the AR1 zone. Three, the subdivision complies with the requirements of the Sussex County Subdivision Code. Four, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the Subdivision Code, and the applicant has addressed the requirements of Section 99-9C of the Code. Five, the project will be served by individual wells and individual on-site septic systems. Six, the development complies with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a low-density single-family dwelling subdivision. Seven, there are no state or federal wetlands located on the site. Eight, given the configuration of this property, a waiver from maximum length of a cul-de-sac is appropriate for this subdivision. Nine, the subdivision will comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements. 10, this preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 10 lots within the subdivision. B, there shall not be any lots within 150 feet from Huff Road. C, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. D, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. E, a forested or landscape buffer of at least 20 feet in depth shall be installed along the entire perimeter of the project. This buffer shall increase to 30 feet along the northern and western boundaries of the site, as shown on the preliminary site plan. The final site plan shall contain a landscape buffer for all of these areas. F, the development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements. G, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. H, construction site work and deliveries shall occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. I, the final site plan shall indicate all forested areas that will be preserved. J, there shall be a sidewalk on at least one side of the street in the subdivision. K, a revised preliminary site plan either depicting or noting these conditions must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. L, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That is it.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval, or no, I'm sorry, to approve subdivision 2018-21 Carriage Springs BSP2 Properties LLC for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2018-22 Citation Meadows LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2018-22 for Citation Meadows LLC based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is seeking approval of a clustered subdivision within the AR1 zoning district. Because the lots will be served by on-site septic systems, the applicant is seeking clustered lots with a minimum of 20,000 square feet. Two, the proposed subdivision will have 49 lots on approximately 54.4 acres. This results in a density of 0.9 lots per acre, which is well below the permitted density in the AR1 zone. Three, the proposed AR1 subdivision is consistent with nearby uses in the area, which includes several residential developments. Four, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code, and the applicant has adequately addressed the requirements of Section 99-9C of the code. Five, the project will be served by Central Water. Six, the lots within the project will be served by individual septic systems. The applicant has obtained a feasibility determination from DENREC. Seven, a waiver from the requirements of Section 99-17G for the Peach Blossom Drive cul-de-sac is appropriate. Eight, the development complies with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a low-density single-family dwelling subdivision. Nine, this clustered subdivision is superior to a standard subdivision in several ways. One of the main design features is a large area set aside for a community agriculture area. This is also an area set aside at the rear of the property to provide ongoing stormwater management to an adjacent property. The clustering also allows a significant amount of open space to be maintained along the frontage, which helps preserve the rural character of Phillips Hill Road. These areas are part of the 22 acres of the open space that are preserved through the cluster design of this property. 10, the preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 49 lots within the subdivision. The lots shall be at least 20,000 square feet in size. B, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and the county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. D, a forested or landscape buffer of at least 20 feet in depth shall be installed along the entire perimeter of this project. This buffer shall increase to 30 feet in areas where the development borders any lands in agriculture use. The final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for all these areas. E, the development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements. F, there shall be a 50-foot easement granted along the entire northern boundary of the site. This easement shall be for the benefit of Oakmont Estates Homeowners Association for the collection and conveyance of stormwater and the use and maintenance of the drainage system within that area. The rights conveyed in this easement shall include the ability for equipment to access the area to maintain the drainage system. This easement area shall be clearly depicted on the final site plan, and an easement agreement shall be filed in the Sussex County Office of the Recorder of Deeds. G, the restrictive covenants shall provide for the perpetual use and maintenance of the community agriculture area by the property owners within the development. H, all amenities shall be completed by the issuance of the 25th residential building permit. I, the subdivision's lots shall be served by individual on-site septic systems regulated by DENREC. J, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department.
K, construction activities, site work, and deliveries shall only occur on-site between the hours of 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. No work on Sundays. The final site plan, L, the final site plan, the restrictive covenants, and all deeds to the lots shall contain legal notice that lands adjacent to the development are used for agricultural purposes. M, the applicant shall coordinate with the local school district's transportation manager to establish a school bus stop area. N, a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. O, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2018-22, Citation Meadows LLC, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 21.
Nope. We already acted on that one, so that okay. one, that was put on last meeting.
Right, we did that one last time. That's yep. right. Okay. All right then. Ladies and gentlemen, at long last, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. I assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on an application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. And speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the benefit of the eight people here tonight. We have a light crowd, but still need to go through the rules. This is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the direction of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. In addition, at this meeting in December, because I vowed to Lawrence that I would never let him forget it, if you have any musical socks that play Christmas carols, please turn them off now. I'm going to pause here for a second. 10 years ago or more, maybe, Lawrence had some socks that somebody had given him as a gift, and we had a full house of people with a big hearing in the middle of it from over there where Jamie sat and where Lawrence used to sit. The Christmas carol start, and he's like trying to, anyhow, so.
Turn his socks.
So I have said that every single year at Christmas time in honor of Lawrence and his musical socks. So if anybody has any or ties or musical articles of clothing that play holiday music, please turn it off. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In these proceedings, Sussex County does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.